Blog Talk Radio.
I want to present to some and introduce to others your host for Anything But Ordinary Radio, Mr. Michael McCleary.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Anything But Ordinary Radio. I'm your host, Michael McCleary, as Chris Gloss was so kind to just introduce me, and I'm so excited to have another great episode for all of you tonight. We have Kevin Simpson is with us tonight, as well as Jamie Burton Orr. Kevin is an educator and entrepreneur. And Jamie is a filmmaker and actress, both incredibly talented, and I'm so excited I had the opportunity to meet the both of them just a couple of weeks ago at the TEDx Flint conference. And what's really cool is we're going to be talking a little bit about TEDx. We're going to be talking about Flint. We're going to be talking about really creating an extraordinary community. And we'll be also talking with some speakers from the event next week as well. So we're going to kind of cover what went on and really get you an opportunity to start thinking maybe outside the box, or encourage you to think outside the box, particularly when we talk about community and what we can do to improve our communities. Communities like Flint, a city that I love. I lived there for over 5 years, went to college in the city, owned a home in the city, and anytime I get back there, I want to get a chance to give back. And we have two great individuals on tonight to talk to us about, you know, really improving our communities. And I'm really excited to have both of them on. And then also at the same time, I'm excited to have on a guest co-host with us tonight, Mr. Jed Ray. Most of you know Jed. Jed, how are you doing tonight?
Yeah. We're good. We're good. How are you? I'm glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me. I love this.
Well, I'm glad you could join us tonight, Jed. Maria is planning to be with us. She's in the midst of traffic. So we hope to have her on with us soon, but, you know, traffic in L.A., who knows if she'll make it, and if she does, she'll be on with us. If not, we will. We are very excited to have Jed.
Welcome to L.A., baby. Welcome to L.A.
Welcome to L.A. is right. you know, a really great topic, I think, and important tonight. It's interesting, you know, for those of you in the United States, we, of course, have an election going on tonight, an important election, in a variety of ways, and depending on, you know, what your politics are, you'll kind of depend on whether you're feeling it's going well or not, or if you're pretty apolitical and you probably don't care, you may be doing, you know, just thinking, you know, whatever happens. But what I think is important when we talk about community, talking about extraordinary community, what it takes to create an extraordinary community is people of different outlooks, different political persuasions, different cultures, races, different religious backgrounds. It takes all of us working together. It takes us coming together, finding solutions in a way that we can make our communities better and improved. And one of the things I really loved about the TEDx program that we had there in Flint, and Kevin did a great job with putting together the program, was bringing a variety of different people with a variety of outlooks, different talents, and really bringing us together to think outside the box. I mean, TED's really about that, is thinking outside the box and creating change. But I think it's really great that we had an opportunity to do that, and no matter what your politics or your religion or anything like that, we could come together on a common cause, and that's improving our cities. And it's a really, really important thing that we're doing. Jed, any thoughts or comments on our topic before we bring on our first guest?
No, just one. I think that the dynamics of the things that are changing and coming about and that we face on a daily basis I think that the exciting thing is that what I'm feeling, at least on this part of the country, is this change is exciting, and that by having those unique dynamics, especially the dynamics of our guest tonight, the diversity of who they are and what they bring to the world is an exciting dialogue. So, I don't have anything to say, I guess. I don't like to hear myself talk. That's not why I'm talking. But yeah, bring him on.
All right. Well, with that, we're going to bring him on. And our first guest, I'm really excited to introduce, is Mr. Kevin Simpson. And he's an education entrepreneur and global education consultant at KDSL, which stands for Know, Do, Serve, and Learn. KDSL partners with organizations worldwide to increase student achievement, teacher knowledge, and education leadership. He's worked in a variety of teaching, administrative, and consulting capacities at parochial, public, charter, and international schools located in Washington, D.C., Maryland, Michigan, Virginia, Laos, Qatar, Thailand, Lebanon, and Dubai. And I'm really excited to have Kevin on with us. And he's also, by the way, he's the one who founded and started this whole idea of TEDx Lent. Kevin, how are you doing tonight?
I am great. Mike, how are y'all doing?
Oh, doing great. And really excited to have you on because I think it's a really important topic, something that we really need to talk more about, you know, how we're going to help, really work on bringing back our urban areas, because it's an important part of our community. Whether you're rural or urban, our urban centers are important to us. So, Kevin, tell us a little bit about your background. I mean, you've spoken all over the place. You've taught all over the place, all over the world. What's been your favorite part about being an educator?
Oh, so many parts about being an educator. Number one, I always say, you know, first I am a teacher. I love that. That's, you know, my passion. That's my breath. When I wake up, I enjoy that. Whether it's in the classroom, working with teachers to be, collaborating with schools and organizations. And I really fell into the field is what I like to sort of say at times. I know one of the TEDx speakers talked about that, Sophia Taylor, about falling into your passion. I really fell into it when I was a student at Michigan State in East Lansing years back in terms of how I sort of encountered my what I call like a moment of obligation in terms of education. I was on the cusp of pre-law and just working at a local elementary school in Lansing. Sort of, you know, had never thought about being in education or being a teacher, but it was like these students were directly speaking to me, like, what are you going to do? Like, we're having issues here in terms of academics, and what are you going to do about it? And just, you know, fell to love the field of ed and just to see, you know, so many different possibilities, you know, locally, around the states, and then just globally of how to get involved with within the field.
So what, I mean, you got involved in the education field, like you said, you fell into it, but what took you to different places around the world, like Laos and Dubai? I know you're on your way, am I right, you're on your way to Dubai soon?
Yeah, I'm on my way to Dubai and to Thailand this upcoming weekend.
So what's taken you to these far-off countries?
A lot of it is just this, in 2005 I had the chance to had my first international overseas education experience, and it was in Laos in Southeast Asia for 18 months. And I think, you know, they say once you get that travel bug in you, it's hard to get rid of it. And I think it's just one of those things where having the opportunity to collaborate and to work internationally and to find just different places and people just all over the world who are, you know, have that same level of passion about their field, you know, being education, and just being willing and open to collaborate, really. And then for me, I call myself literally a CAE, a chief academic eavesdropper, which is sort of how the TEDx, you know, sort of came about. It's just really listening and seeing how to take, you know, either ideas or passion anywhere from in the world and how to, you know, bring them back home in a collaborative manner. So it's like once you find out about it, what do you do with it? So is it for me or is it, you know, for, you know, my family, my friends, colleagues, you know, for the city of Flint and things like that?
You know, when you bring up Flint, let me get one in real quick, Chad. I know you want to jump in, but I just want to follow up.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
But you bring up Flint, and you're in Alexandria, right, down in Virginia?
Yep. Uh huh.
So you came up with the concept to bring the TED conference, a TEDx conference, to Flint. I mean, what brought you to say, you know what, I could do this in Virginia, I could do it in Dubai, I could do it in other places around the world, but I want to go back to my roots in Flint and bring something positive like this to really get us to start thinking about making a change. What encouraged you to say, you know what, Flint is the place that I want to do it, and then be able to pull it off in the manner that you did?
Yeah, good question. I think it was, encountering the TEDx event and individuals who knew about TED or TEDx in Dubai. I had a chance to attend and to love blog and tweet with the organization Bond Education. They're based in Dubai in the States also with Anna Basselder. And just seeing these individuals who were passionate about their fields, passionate about sharing, about collaborating, passionate about just ideas over a day, and then just to see not only a day, but to see how monthly forums spun about as a result of, I mean, literally at the end of the day, it was like 19 speakers later, I was like literally on the edge of my seat, like, how can this be incorporated into the city of Flint? It was like that was the first thing that sort of popped into my head, like, how can this, be, who do I need to talk to, like, where? Thank goodness I was able to get in contact with the organizers, some of the organizers and the hosts, Giorgio and James, and talk to them and learn more, more and more, and read more about TEDx and TED and what it meant and how it could be incorporated sort of locally. And so that, it was literally, was from that moment in October to what I need to do. Like, that was just like sort of like that mission that I went on, like, who do I need to meet, who do I need to talk to make this happen? From that moment to applying to a license through TED to bring the event locally to Flint, and that was around like November, end of 2009, to finding out in December of 2009 that it's been approved. You could bring TEDx to Flint, and the whole 10-month journey of, speakers, theme, venue, getting the word out and just, starting on that path.
Well, you did a great job. You did a great job. And, Jed, I know you want to jump in, so I'm going to...
Well, no. I find this passion of Kevin's to be, really exciting for me right now, because I'm walking this journey. What specifically, for the listeners, what specifically is it that you attribute to the quality of your education, number one? But before we go there, what is it that, let our audience know what it is exactly that you are teaching, because I'm getting this picture that, that you're this world traveler and you're teaching the, for all I know, it may be the Tao Te Ching, I don't know. So what is it that you're teaching, Kevin?
Okay, in terms of sort of like, in terms of my work?
Okay,
yeah, so my work, more or less, it's sort of shifted from, that direct, everyday, go to a school and teach in a classroom mode to now it's more of collaborating with organizations. So an example project that I'm working on or organization I'm collaborating with right now is the George Washington University. So I'm working with them and teachers-to-be, so future teachers in the classroom. So collaborating with them in terms of giving them feedback, observing them as educators in the classroom, as well as, just working with other individuals who are doing the same thing in a supervisory role. It's also continued to work with schools, individual schools. So there's a couple schools in Washington, D.C. that I, same thing, collaborate with, and it might be anything from co-teaching to professional learning with educators to working over in Thailand where it's more teacher training. So schools that are coming for either professional development to learn more about specific strategies or content, anything from History Alive to Socratic seminars. So it's pretty much a little bit different than the traditional classroom teacher. So like I said, that's my first, but then it sort of spiraled out of just opportunities that occurred in different organizations over time.
Well, I think that that whole dynamics is shifting, and Michael addressed that in his prologue this, when we started, in the notion that, you know, change is about us. Change is coming, and the influence that we bring about to it is the dynamics of the way we communicate, and education isn't any different. I'll give you an example. We're on the University of Oregon campus right now. We're dialoguing on there's definitely two camps to live classroom versus virtual classroom versus, you know, the blackboard and having a webinar-based environmental system for some forms of classroom environment. So it's an exciting discussion, and I'm sure that some of that kind of stuff is coming up in your consultations as well.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And it is. It's being able to, you know, go, you know, with the times, and not only that, but with, you know, organizations and how, you know, how best to meet their needs. So if it is someone who, you know, prefers a webinar versus we want a live person, and it is, it is true. It's just transcended over time in terms of sort of how we see education, how, you know, collaboration is delivered even. So it is. It's fascinating. So, and just to think of what, you know, the future
I'm having brings. A blast, you know, after 30 years of doing one thing and now shifting gears midlife and going on back onto campus, it's fun. I'm just enjoying it. So I can imagine where you're at. That's cool. So what are some of the other collaborative projects?
Tom, a few others that I'm working on is actually up and coming is the Global Education Conference. So
yeah,
this is the,
right.
the first of its kind, and it's basically going to be held multiple time zones all over the world, and I'm just one of the partner organizations with the co-chairs, who I actually had a chance to talk to this evening, Steve and Lucy, and they're just opening up this pathway to how to collaborate worldwide across education. It'll be the week of November 15th through 19th. So part of my role has been to suggest speakers who will speak online. It's free. And it's, yeah, it'll be the first of its kind. And they're, same thing, looking to grow this event across all continents. They have like up to 350 presentations that'll be done online through Illuminate.
Cool.
It's just phenomenal. Multiple time zones, 5 days, multiple languages. So,
do you have a link that you want to share with the audience?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, they can check out www.globaleducationconference.com for more information and the dates and times in terms of wherever their time zone is.
Cool. Oh, Michael beat me to it.
Try.
Go ahead, buddy.
Devin, you know, we in talking about education and the ideals of TED too, which is to really bring change.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think in your experience? I mean, you've had an opportunity to educate and meet people from around the world, and you've also had an opportunity to educate and meet with people in our local communities. What do you think, in your estimation, what is it going to take us to really transform our urban centers, especially ones like Flint, Detroit? You know, we can name a whole bunch that are having issues.
Mm-hmm.
And number one, make education exciting for kids again, so that they want to learn and that it's important to learn. And how do we bring back our urban centers?
Yeah, I think definitely one thing is, you know, one of my big sort of areas of focus is, you know, how, especially thinking of the educational realm as what was being spoken of before, is how to really open up schools, open up classrooms, open up doors so that the world isn't this place out there. It isn't this book. To know that the world is Skype. Like a couple years ago, I had a CEO from Chicago Skype into a classroom of fourth graders I was talking to. You know, it was her morning early, you know, their afternoon, how to take things like there's an organization, Co's Journey in New Mexico, that's looking to connect a classroom with students anywhere in the world, but how to really take hold and really allow students and educators to see it not as, okay, those people over there or this world somewhere out there, but how to really open it up and to meet students based on, you know, their interest. So how to really fulfill it versus, you know, the curriculum says you must do this versus how to really listen to students and making those collective decisions with students. So not having to wait 5 or 10 years. So if you want to be an author, how can we connect and link you with an author today? And same thing within opening up, you know, these cities and these getting it to the point where, you know, TEDx, when people, like people would say, oh, my goodness, there's going to be a TEDx in Flint. You know, like people were just shocked, like, what? You know, we think TEDx, we think of, you know, Romania, we think Tel Aviv, we think Dubai, we think London, we think all these places. Yeah, Flint is on that same scale, too. You know, there are individuals who are there who are, you know, like this urban agriculture, urban self-defense, where they're looking at places like South Africa and all these other people around the world who now want these ideas that the kings have. You know, so to know that Flint is on that same global scale and really, you know, how to shine on that talent and on those individuals, on those organizations for doing it, you know, and in getting them out there so others know that they're doing, so they're able to collaborate just globally. So I definitely think that's a piece of it.
Well, you know, Kevin, it's interesting you bring up TEDx, particularly in Flint, because one of our members of our chat room asked the question, how did the TEDx event impact Flint, and what were some of the outcomes you've seen so far?
Good question. Yeah, so I think definitely in terms of just reading and seeing, like, the press about the event, in terms of highlighting that, to say, you know, these are some of the ideas, and to know that, like, the press, well, a lot of pieces of what they're saying and orgs is that it's going to be this annual event, that it will grow, you know, initially this first year. It was limited to 150 people, but, you know, to see the potential of it growing. And then just to hear and see some of the different individuals now, you know, people who have been in contact with us to say, to give feedback and to say, you know, how to keep, you know, these ideas ongoing. I think that's a piece that, you know, when we reflect, actually, which is tomorrow, on sort of what's the next steps, how to keep people engaged, not even from now to January, but on a monthly basis. So how to create either something online, meetups that people can go to, where mm-hmm. the people who were in the audience who attended, same thing, everyone has ideas. Because that was one of the first things we did, the live bloggers, tweeters, Aaron and TJ, they sent out all the ideas from people who, you know, had applied or people who were there. We're not sure if people picked up on that. But just to say, how can we, you know, keep this ongoing, whether it's a collective group meeting once a month with someone who attended or someone who wasn't able to attend to share their idea and watch a TED talk and discuss. Which is sort of the format that happened as a result of sort of TEDx Dubai. There's this TEDx Duck Tack where people meet once a month in a forum like fashion to watch a talk and to listen to someone locally give a talk. So, yeah, so a lot of different ideas. So we definitely, you know, same thing, want to hear. We sent the feedback to individuals last week, but, you know, we'll reflect and see how to keep this going so it's not seen as this, okay, it was October 23rd, good night, see you next year, but how to, you know, keep it going. Saying it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I really got out of it after leaving was not, okay, this is great, let's do it again next year, bigger and better.
Right.
But how do we keep this going, you know, at least quarterly or something, so that we keep the ideas flowing and then it's not just a one-time thing? Because I think, unfortunately, sometimes we get this mentality that we're going to just do something, you know, once or once a year and just everything falls by the wayside until the next year, instead of keeping that momentum going. Because cities like Flint need, you know, we need this. We need the positivity. The people in the community need the positivity. And just, you know, seeing an event like TED be active regularly in the city all the time, I think, starts to get people to think outside of the box. And Kevin, I can't praise you enough for the diversity, and we talked about this at the event, but the diversity of people you had there. I mean, you had people from all over the spectrum, and maybe you want to just, you know, bring up, talk a little bit about why you decided to have such a diverse lineup of speakers, musicians, poets. I mean, you had people all over the board.
Right, yeah, and I think that's a piece, too. The organizers, once we all came together, Dan, Doug, and Brian and myself was to, you know, how to really, you know, looking at some different TEDx events that have occurred and how to make sure we had that diverse aspect so that, you know, anyone, either the 3,000 who are watching online, you know, or like the 150 that were there, you know, could walk away and take something. So a big piece was making sure that, you know, the talks themselves, the individuals themselves, represented just a wide range and array and background. So having, you know, a younger speaker, you know, from Kettering University, Mike Antonacci, having the mayor, you know, having someone who is, you know, the face of unemployment, having someone who's working on mobile telephony all over the world. So how to have, you know, people from the community, John Rhimes, David McGee, having an artist do a live piece, you know, on stage, and then having, you know, the audience add their own individual pieces to it. You know, having someone from theater and art, Jamie Burton, or having someone from Harvard Business Review, you know, that was suggested from someone from Flint, Peter Bregman. So how to bring all these pieces together, you know, Dr. Bachran with innovation, the rehab in the hood. So in terms of thinking about, like you're saying, the urban centers, how to bring them back, Sophia Taylor's. So, yeah, that was really, and then, you know, of course, the urban agriculture, urban self-defense, something that's like, wow, you know, food and karate together, you know, so the King's documentary, you know, and then splattered in with the music, the comedy, the spoken word. I mean, it was, yeah, I cannot praise, like I said, Dan, Doug, and Brian enough just in terms of collaboratively coming up with ideas and, you know, individuals who we knew, you know, who were different, you know, so.
Well, if the listeners didn't understand, if the listeners did not understand what you just said over the last, say, 3 minutes, was probably the most powerful, influential piece of information that you shared with us all this, for this last half hour. The dynamics of that, of the breadth of what you just said, I got to tell you, Kevin, that's amazing, because that's integrating a whole host of what we are as human beings. We do every single day, the reading that we do, the speaking that we do, the interaction that we have with someone, that's all an educational piece. But here it is on a global level where you're making some connections that, you know, people have dreamed about for years. This is awesome, man. This is, yep. I'm pretty impressed, young fella.
Thanks.
Well, I am too, and it was great for me. I mean, I got an opportunity to meet a lot of people that I may never have met, you know, that were it not for TEDx, but also people who, you know, have a similar inclination. A lot of different, what's cool is you had a lot of different people there from a lot of different walks of life and a lot of different experiences, but all getting together because, number one, we want to share knowledge, and number two, we want to make a difference in the city and improve it. And it's really great to see that opportunity and seeing people come together from all walks of life, who only want to see improvement, however we can make it. Kevin, we're getting close to the bottom of the hour. Jamie hasn't joined us yet. But I wanted to give you an opportunity to let our listeners know where they can find out more about you and also TEDx Flint.
Oh, excellent. Thanks, Mike. More information about me and the organization that I currently focus on, Know, Do, Serve, Learn, or KDSL, is online at knowdoservelearn.org, O-R-G. I also have a blog that people can follow, kdsl.wordpress.com. And then there's more information about TEDx Flint on our website, which is www.tedxflint.com, and as well up there is, you know, how to follow us on social media, so the Twitter, Facebook, Flickr, as well as YouTube. So all the videos of each of the individual speakers will be uploaded around December, so we're targeting for. And then there's also like information from the live blogging and tweeting is also there, and then for information on TED and the TED Talks, people can go to www.ted.com for more information.
You're listening to Anything But Ordinary Radio. We come to you every week, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. just doing a little station identification. I just encourage all of you, please tell a friend, come back. We'd like to bring you different ideas, different thoughts, motivational and inspirational speakers and individuals who can really give you some different ways to think about what you're doing in your life. And tonight we're talking with Kevin Simpson about extraordinary community. And one of the questions I have for you, Kevin, is as an educator, as someone who's, like I said, seen all this, what is one thing that you would like you'd like our audience to know? If there's one thing that you could pass on, one piece of knowledge that you've learned in your travels in educating people, what would that be?
Wow. I definitely would say my number one thing is being open. I remember, you know, sort of entering the field of education. And part of the reason I think, you know, that whole falling into that passion was seeing the possibilities. Seeing that it's possible to explore and to engage with the world, you know, beyond a classroom. So part of this, part of traveling, part of working anywhere in the world has been to be open. So to ideas, to individuals who, you know, might not look like me, might not speak the same language, but being, you know, quite open and just truly listening and seeing, you know, are there opportunities to collaborate, to share ideas, to really push each other's thinking. So I think that's one thing that has really sort of stood out, especially over the last 5 years with starting sort of the work globally. It's just being open and just never setting limits on myself. And never allowing other people to place like a limit. So if someone says, "Oh, you can or you shouldn't," or "Oh, aren't you worried about?" No, I'm not. It's like I just go, just do, and not even worrying, but just being open to, you know, to whatever the world and the possibilities that are out there, and really being able to listen to others, being willing to be open and to just to learn. You know.
Well, somebody in the chat room says congratulations on representative for state representative. So it sounds like you can run for Congress or maybe Senate or even president. You got a fan. You got a fan, dude.
We're currently missing our second guest. Jamie's not with us. Kevin, do you want to stick around, or are you busy off to other locations?
No, I can stick around. Yep.
All right, Jed, do you have another question? In fact, too, if anybody's listening to us and would like to call in and ask a question, you're welcome to give us a call. 347-857. Thanks, Jed. I was given the number, though, man.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. I'm just so excited. This conversation's really got me going. I really like this. I'm glad
you're going to
stick on. Give the number.
Not only can you leave the message in our chat room, just click that little chat icon if you're listening right now, but do make sure that you have a Blog Talk Radio account, because if you just log in as a guest, unfortunately, you can watch what's going on in the chat room, but you can ask a question. But if you want to place a call, feel free to call us at 347-857-3760. And, Jed, it sounds like you have another great question.
Well, I think the more that I look at some of this, some of the sites that Kevin shared with us, the more interested I am in the dynamics of how he addressed this very, very well, the maintaining the connection, the continuous connection, so that the energy that's created at TEDx and the energy that's going to be created at the Global Education Conference, and that in itself is it's kind of like a snowball. You know, you're the goal is to make that doggone thing as big as possible and keep it moving. And that's what I'm interested in, is to see if the dialogue can continue with the types of technology we have. Kevin, wow, what an opportunity to take this message and continue to roll with it. It's awesome. I don't know that I really have a specific question other than...
Well, you know, actually, I have a follow-up to that for Kevin, Jed, and that is, where do you see this going? I mean, what not only what's next for you, but what you see as in new and emerging technologies for education. Where is our education going in the future? What's going to be what's going to be different?
Good question. I definitely see an increase, as I told someone last week, in handheld education. And what I mean is this whole, I mean, there are times where, you know, for whatever reason, I can't sleep because it might be, you know, 12 noon somewhere else in the world, something else going on. But it's just this, at any time, having this access to information. You know, we think about the web and its access, and we think about these handheld devices, you know, from iPads to iPhones to anything pretty much to the e-books. But this whole focus on personalized learning, where I see it, like we're talking about with the webinar, where it's almost like this educator who is almost like literally handheld, that could, you know, serve as a virtual tutor in some regards. You think of some of these virtual schools. I think there was one recently. They're talking about in Florida how in 2 years the numbers had just increased dramatically, the amount of students who were taking advantage of these, you know, virtual online courses and schools that are online. But yeah, just to see how the personalization of education via things, you know, such as social media, and how to, you know, go about selecting courses at the touch of a finger and literally having it in your hand where you can access, you know, mathematics, access English, whatever the content or whatever interests are, at the touch of a finger in your hand anytime. What might not necessarily be, you know, a 7:30 I have to go to school, go to class. I might want to do my learning at 6 o'clock p.m. You know, so, but a definite increase, you know, in this, and an increase in global collaboration. So, you know, we look at some of the data in terms of, you know, a lot in the press nowadays is about Finland and being, you know, sort of top in terms of education and what can we learn from them, but how to collaborate across countries even. So a student who might be in the States or might be in Turkey or wherever who wants to collaborate with their peers or collaborate with a personalized, you know, educator or tutor anywhere in the world, you know, having that that access to people. So,
Kevin, let me ask you a follow-up question to that that's directly related to
I'm going to let you ask the question. I just want to let you both know we do have a. Do you want to ask the question? Or do you want to take a caller? We have a caller who's actually.
Oh, please take the caller. Caller. You bet.
Caller.
No.
All
that's
right.
It.
Well,
everybody's heard me talk.
We have a caller who has a question and is calling from the 810 area code, the Flint area. What's your question, caller?
Hi there, Kevin, and hello, hello interviewees or interviewers. And I have a question for Kevin. I'd like to know, what are some of the goals he has for TEDx Flint 2011? Just maybe a few goals.
All right. So a couple of goals for next year. Thanks for asking that caller. I think I know who that caller is. One of the goals definitely is to definitely see growth in terms of expansion of the program. What we sort of found out this year was being on the ground and telling people that, you know, TEDx is coming, we found either people knew about TEDx and TED, and they were, like, excited, like, oh, my goodness, it's coming to Flint. Or was it like, what's that? Or who's TED? Who's TEDx? I've never heard of them. So I think this increasing marketing early on and it being this ongoing campaign that's, you know, starting from pretty much, like, December straight through, so that the information is disseminated, you know, when the next event will be. So that's definitely a goal, is to get it into the mouth, into the lexicon of the people around Flint. Definitely one of the goals. And then there'll be a bunch of surprises that'll be. I don't want to give too many of them out. So in terms of some of the, in terms
well,
of,
I wondered,
say,
I wondered
of,
if I wondered, Kevin, if you had some goals regarding, just given your interest in education and youth, if you had some goals regarding TEDx and its incorporation even in schools.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
that's
yeah.
A great question.
Definite question. That's an excellent question. And one thing I know that they've recently put out on the TED.com blog, they talked about how to really take hold of, you know, these talks. Like, I've used the talks with students. I've used them also with educators. And it's been that, you know, same response as, you know, we found a student, like, what's that? What's, you know, what's this music coming on as the intro? What's TED? What's this big, you know, TED, you know, in red? But that's a piece, too, is, you know, how to use these in professional learning with educators, how to use them in classrooms. But, yeah, it's another thing, too, in terms of sort of working with and, you know, not only with, I want to start to sort of talk to TED to see sort of what they're thinking in terms of how to use talks that are online in schools, because I think there's a definite way to do that. There was a talk from TEDx India that I used with some students last year, and it was on how to get students engaged and involved in their community. The students were focused on a pay-it-forward project that focused specifically on that, so how to embrace and to get things such as a movement started when you're like 7, 8, or 9. But, yeah, I definitely think there's a way to incorporate these talks early on, some of these, you know, talks about science, talks about the brain, because there's like a wealth of just topics and subjects that are online. So it's just really taking in how to put them accordingly, you know, based on either content area or topics as it connects to, you know, curriculum.
Well, caller, thank you so much for your questions. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks, and thanks to Kevin for enriching our community.
Yeah, he's doing a great job.
Yes. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you. Jed, you had I've got a couple questions now for Kevin, and also, I know we have one in the chat room as well, another question, but I wanted to get to your question first.
Well, this comes to a difficult place, because this discussion is actually taking place on my campus here locally in Eugene, and it directly relates to the type of systems Kevin's talking about, and that's the stakeholders who are involved in the proprietary information that generally takes place. One of the models in this country, which is probably the forefront of this, is MIT with their open source educational system that they provided. The irony in all this is that we're talking about collaboration and sharing, but there's still a heavy set of dialogue saying, wait a minute, I've spent my entire life creating this information, and now you're expecting me to give it away. And so there's a tug and a pull, and I kind of like, you know, I'm always focused on, in my life, as much as I can on the positive side of everything, regardless. I don't want to send this off into a negative conversation at all, by any means. But how is TEDx and the Educational Global Conference going to deal with some of the stakeholders that they have a legitimate claim to some of their research and some of their information? But how do we deal with that going forward? Because ultimately, Kevin, what you presented here, I got to tell you, is the future of how we're going to educate people. I really believe that. And
well, you know,
I don't know. It's a tough discussion.
No, it is, and it's a great question, and one we need to ask. But we actually have our second So
it's
Kevin,
okay. It's okay.
From answering that question, no, it's a great question.
Well, Kevin, you and I will have to talk later.
We definitely will. I would love to chat some more.
But, you know, Kevin, you're welcome, you know, to stay with us. And I'd like to bring on our second guest, and I could go into her long bio, and we could talk, you know, all about her, but if we only have 15 minutes left in the show, I want to get her on as soon as possible. So we have filmmaker and actress Jamie Burton Orr is with us. Jamie, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, my gosh. First of all, I am so sorry that my call is late. Oh, I totally had a California blonde moment and realized the time difference. Like, wait a minute, I kept thinking 10 p.m. my time, and I'm just sitting here watching the election news here, and it's really it's kind of scary. So anyway, I'm good, and I was just, thank you. I'm so sorry. I know you guys were like, what is going on with this chick, but. I had a moment. So
we all have those. I'm just glad you could be with us.
No offense to anybody that's blonde. I dyed my hair blonde actually in college at one point. So I'm all about blonde.
I'll ask a question that we asked. Real quick, in 60 seconds or less, I've got a question for you, but I want to get you introduced to everybody in the audience. It's 60 seconds, because we're going to go speed. We're going to go speed questions now because we're going
to. No worries.
Yeah, exactly. In 60 seconds or less, tell me a little bit about who you are, so that all of our listeners can go, that's great. I want to follow and find out more about Jamie.
Okay, 60 seconds or less. I'm Jamie Burton, or I am from Flint, Michigan. FLINT, as I affectionately call it, many of us. And I am a filmmaker. I'm an actor first. I became a filmmaker so that I can help control the type of work that I'm able to do. So create projects for myself and for my peers. There's a lot of talented artists out there who don't get an opportunity to showcase their work because they're just waiting for someone else to do it for them. And so that was my inspiration behind that. I went to school at Howard University in Washington, D.C., and I come from even though I'm an only child, I come from a huge family. I grew up in a situation with my cousins and my aunts and great-grandmothers, very non-traditional, but it was exactly what made me who I am, and communal and just interested in what's good for the world, really. It might sound a little corny, but that's me. I don't know if that's under 60 seconds. Right now I live in Los Angeles.
You're close.
Okay, I live in Los Angeles, and I any project that I'm doing, I promote my city or make my city a part of it, whether it's somebody that's involved in my project from home or actually the next feature film. I'm working on my second feature film, and I plan to shoot it in Flint, Michigan. And so I got to be a part of TEDx because I brought my first feature film home to screen it at home to try to introduce independent film as a viable option for people at home in terms of just leisure and learning about it, knowing about it, and provided a Q&A to try to give some people some insight into how to take advantage of the film opportunities coming to Michigan and what that means and what that what that can do for us and our future and how we can use art as a platform and to extend who we are, basically. That's it.
Yeah. And Jamie, really quickly, just for our listening audience, I have to send a quick shout-out from Maria, who's our co-host and who can't be with us tonight, but she's in the chat room, and she tells everybody hello.
Hey, Maria. What's up, Maria?
Hey, Maria.
Yo, Maria.
Yeah, Maria's out there in the L.A. area, so definitely need to connect the two of you. But we started talking about, really at the beginning of the show, one of the things I brought up was, with everything that's going on with the elections, I thought a great thing to talk about tonight was extraordinary community and how to make our communities extraordinary. And what I thought was great, and we kind of talked about this a little before, too, with Kevin, was at the event, you know, we brought together all these different people from different backgrounds with different political persuasions, different races, different spiritual thoughts and feelings, different educational backgrounds and professional backgrounds, but all bringing them together because they have a desire to improve their world and also to improve themselves and improve their community and improve a community like Flint. That from those of us who are from Flint, and while I wasn't born there, I lived there, owned a home in Flint, so I consider myself a part of Flint.
That's right.
You know, we know that city has a lot of good. There's a lot that can be done. I mean, and it doesn't is not nearly the reputation that a lot of people like to give it. But from your perspective, what did you really enjoy about the TEDx program that Kevin put on and being able to bring all these different people together to try to make a difference?
Well, I think just what you said is what it is. Kevin was the saint that brought everybody together, and it was so encouraging to be a part of a program that promoted what's good in Flint, Michigan, and what's good that has come from Flint, Michigan, and what's coming from Flint, Michigan. You know, because you are, now all you hear are bad things. You know, I'm out here, people ask me where I'm from, I tell them, they know it immediately, and they don't have a good facial expression. And so you kind of get tired of that. And like Kevin put together such an eclectic bunch of people from different, like as you said, from different backgrounds, from different just age ranges, from different ethnicities, you know, all the way down to the different religious backgrounds, different, you know, I don't even know some people's religious background or that I had conversations with, because everybody was not focused on division and just kind of focused on, you know, what the person said and what they had to offer. And that was very cool. I mean, there were, I went to Walker Elementary and Walker Learning Center, and there were like six of my classmates, either including the mayor, that were on the platform or in the audience. We had a great audience, you know, people that stayed all day long because it was such a good hodgepodge of topics and of people, and you know, you just don't get that often. I mean, it's a huge, TED.com is huge, and there were many people who learned about TED.com because of TEDx Flint,
mm-hmm.
and there were people, I especially from my classmates and peers afterwards, who were like, man, I wish I would have known, or I just found out what it is because the billboards were still up. You know, I got postcards. So it had a residual effect. And it was that was very cool just to be a part of, you know, educating the public about this this idea and being a part of starting it. And it was great. I mean, I got so much out of just participating.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved the opportunity to meet so many different people. I mean, to meet you, Jamie, and be able to have a, you know, a conversation and, you know, and talk about what we're both trying to do to improve things. And
exactly.
It was just really exciting to meet, you know, all these different people. And we only have a few minutes left, but I wanted to ask both Jamie and Kevin. You know, what strikes me, and we were kind of talking about this, and you, and Jamie, you brought up the mayor of Flint. And, you know, we're all in our 30s, and I was shocked. I guess I didn't really realize Dane Walling was as young as he is, but he is. I mean, he's in his 30s. And
mm-hmm.
being in our 30s, we're really, it's starting to become our time, being
yeah.
younger, really start to make those changes in the world. I mean, you know, people who are older are starting to be tired of doing what they're doing, and it's also time for a lot of us to step up. So it's both of you, in a few minutes, what does that idea, you know, bring to you about what we need to do as a younger generation to start making those changes? Who's hopefully gotten a little bit of wisdom at least, a little bit, just a teeny bit.
What was the last part? You said at
just,
the end.
You know what does it bring to mind to you? You know that we're this younger generation, but it's time for us to start stepping up. A lot of us, a lot of our peers, you know, to start stepping up and making those. Being involved and making change, you know, in the ways that we can.
Well, for me, I'll just say that, like, this, what Kevin put together shows that that's already happening. You know what I mean? It's not so much of a delayed reaction. I mean, it's in progress. You know, I was on the phone today one of my classmates, an incredible asset to Flint, Michigan, called me from South Africa. He is over in a place called Sandton, teaching hip hop to. Yeah, he's teaching hip hop.
That's cool.
And he was Aaliyah's, the late singer Aaliyah's first choreographer, and to getting her into dance. He's from Flint, Michigan, teaching hip hop in South Africa. And we just got off the phone talking about our class, our classmates. He saw, you know, TEDx online, and we were just talking about how incredible our classmates are. And so many people in our peer group are doing wonderful things and promoting Flint, Michigan, you know, whether they're in the city or abroad. But even the people inside the city, there's a lot of good stuff that's happening, and I think this was wonderful to highlight it. So I think we need to continue to highlight the positives cross-culturally. That's important. So there's just not one or two different segments of our city, but, you know, find the good things. Like one of my favorite moments at TEDx was hearing from the Four Kings with Jackie King, was one of my karate teachers in elementary school, and this guy's been a positive influence in the community for so many years, and now he's a part of these farms that are being built or that are being worked out in Beecher Heights and Beecher community, and these young people that are involved in that. Like that was so amazing to hear. So that's already happening. So there are things that are in place that people can get involved in. And I think that it's a great time for people who have ideas. If you have an idea in Flint, Michigan, and you want to start something, whether it's creative, whether it's something that's already tried and true, whatever it is, it's a great time to start it and to get support. People are open. People need something to hold on to. They need a reason to look forward to being in Flint, Michigan. And like David McGee, I love his group. I actually already referred a couple of people, one of my family members and a friend, to get her boys, the boys involved in his 100 Black Men, 100 Black Boys in Flint. Like those things that are in place, it's important to support, promote, and just encourage our peers. You know, if they have an idea, do it. If you need some assistance, okay, I'll help you make it happen. That's what Kevin did. He built this thing from the ground up, and he reached out to me and was like, hey, I want you to be a part of this. Okay, and then we had to follow through and and just execute, you know, just show up for each other. And it feels good, you know. So I think, if anything, be fearless, you know, be fearless, and don't make up excuses about why you can't do something. Find a way to do it, no matter how small it is or how large it is, you know. Just start. Just actually start.
Well said.
You
know. Ooh-wah.
Jamie, we're almost out of time. We have less than 2 minutes left. And, no, so I want to make sure that for our listeners who want to find out more about you, where they can go to find out more about all the projects that you're doing.
Okay, go to doingthelathing.com. It's D-O-I-N-G. TheLathing.com, and also JamieBurtonOr.com. It's my name, JamieBurtonOr.com. One is for my filmmaking and one is for acting. So there you go.
Awesome. Well, Jamie, Kevin, thank you both for joining us tonight. I really appreciate you taking the time out and you know, sharing the positive benefits of not only TEDx but also a plant and everything that people are doing out there. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you both. Yep.
All right. Well, we're gonna be in touch with the both of you, and Jamie, I've got to get you back on the show so we can go a little bit longer, because I have a lot of other questions I got to ask you.
And oh my God, please, to all of Mike's listeners, please forgive
me. It's all good.
Please forgive
me. All
I showed up. So
you did.
Don't hold
you
it against
it's
me.
It's all
and
good.
And I'll answer any questions on email, too.
All right. Well, thank you, both of you. I'm so glad you're with us. And I encourage all of you to show up next week, because we're going to be talking TEDx again next week. We're going to be talking to a couple other speakers, and I'm really excited. Thanks again for Kevin for setting them up. Be here next week, next Tuesday, 10 p.m., 7 p.m. Pacific, and join us every week. And go out there and be extraordinary. We'll see you all next week.
And check out the documentary,
everyone.
Anything But Ordinary.
Don't you dare.